Welcome back to Beyond the Bedroom. I'm here with a pretty special guest. I'd say you're pretty special.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. It's Saya.
Hi.
Hi. She, as you probably know if you listen to my podcast in Icelandic that we hosted together, Loste, she used to be my boss, technically speaking. And now we're friends.
Yes. Well, we were friends, even though I was your boss.
That's true.
I hope.
No. No, I'm just kidding. No, you paid me to be there, Saya.
Yeah,
no.
So I was paying you to be my friend as well.
No, we were friends. We were co-workers. We were boss employee. Mm-hmm. And it kind of all worked out really well. But I always talk about how great of an experience it was as a sex educator to work at a sex toy store. And you are the founder and owner mm-hmm. and CEO and CFO and
Miss
Do It All of Loste.
Yeah.
And what makes Loste kind of special is that it is a brick and mortar store. Mm-hmm. It is a physical retail location here in Iceland. I really like that because you host pleasure workshops there. You host bachelor and bachelorette parties. Mm-hmm. You host even like university students trying to learn about the industry.
Yeah.
All kinds of events. So it's more than just a retail experience. It's a lot more than that. So we're going to get into some of that today. My listeners and my subscribers on Substack asked us some really fun questions.
Ooh.
But I just want to start with a little introduction. So mm-hmm. you don't have that much of an accent, and people are probably going to ask about it. You speak English very well. So
Thank
what's
you.
Up with that? Why the great English, Saya?
Oh, well, that's a story. So I am Icelandic. I'm also Mexican-Cuban and raised in the States.
Yeah.
So I was born in Iceland. And then from the age of like six, we moved to California. And we were there for like 4 or 5 years. And yeah, I mean, I have a lot of family all around the States, in Mexico as well. So I guess that kind of explains my accent. I did go to elementary school in California.
Yeah, you're a California girl.
I'm a Cali girl. Yeah, I know. I'm not supposed to be here in the cold, in the snow.
I know.
I should be somewhere on a beach with sand in my hair and a cocktail in my hand.
100%. I mean, yeah. that's what I feel I should be as well, even though I can trace my dad's lineage here mm-hmm. back to like 1300 or something.
Right.
There's a big part of me that is like, you belong in the desert, first
yeah.
of all.
I know.
Where's
I know.
The sun?
And it's yeah. also, you know, it's such a contrast.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But I do, I mean, I love Iceland. I do. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great things about living here. So
yeah.
I don't know. People always ask me, like, what are you doing here? Aren't you going to move back out?
I'm
like,
go back from where you
yeah.
came from.
Yeah.
People are always telling me to go back.
Right?
No,
and
I know
it doesn't matter, like, where you are, even if I'm in the States, they're like, what are you doing here? Why aren't you in Iceland?
Yeah.
So, but no, I mean, Iceland does feel like home.
Yeah.
For these past, I mean, what I've been here now like 20 years or more. No, yeah, more yeah. than 20 years.
Yeah.
So, and I have 5 kids that I've raised here. So,
yeah.
And I do love how safe it is. And, you know, kids can just go outside and play.
That's so important.
It is.
It's so nice.
It's a very like relaxed atmosphere.
So because this is something we talk about a lot in the other podcast. But mm-hmm. so on top of being a business owner and working around the clock for your business, you're also a mom of 5,
I am.
You said.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people always ask you about like finding the balance and like how do you do it? But
yeah.
I remember something that my mom said to me when I was younger, because she was a young single mom mm-hmm. too when she had my sister. And she's like, you just do it. Like there's no time to find the balance.
Yeah.
Like you just figure mm-hmm. it out. And I feel like that's something that I've seen from you as well, where it's like, well, there's just no other option. Like, I want to run a business and I want to be a mom. I can do both.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
What do you say though to people that are like, well, how do you have time for the kids? Like, how do you make time
mm-hmm.
When it comes to kind of juggling both or having it all, as they say?
Yeah, I think what your mom said is really, really true. I would like to say, oh, it's about being organized
right.
and just making a plan. But no, it's just about like doing it as you go. And I think as a mom, like most moms can probably relate to having constant guilt. It doesn't matter how much you do or you don't do. You're just always, you know, you have that feeling of guilt, like, oh, I could be doing more, or right. I should be spending more time with them, or whatever it is. But yeah, I think just knowing that I'm always giving my all in all areas of my life, and having open communication with them.
Oh, yeah.
They do understand a lot, you know, like what I do and why I do it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I do definitely try to like keep that balance for my sake and for their sake as well.
Yeah.
There's so little for such a short time. I mean, time flies.
A lot of the time when I talk about like being in sex ed or with you, like working in sex tech and owning a sex toy store, mm-hmm. people are sometimes really surprised to learn like, oh, like Birna's married, or like Saya's been with the same man for like almost 20 years now. And it is kind of interesting. Like they're always so surprised, like, wait, you're a mom? Or like, mm-hmm. oh, you're this like monogamous person. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important that people realize the sex tech industry and mm-hmm. the sex industry as a whole, like, is for everyone.
It is. Yeah.
And there's this very interesting picture painted where it's like, well, these types of things are just for these types of people.
Yeah.
But most of the people that come in are mm-hmm. those people that are like in long-term relationships mm-hmm. or trying to figure it out with a partner that they trust, or, you know, it's not. And we get a lot of people that are kind of more secure and have different partners, but a lot of the time it's the person that people are, this type of person's just vanilla, you know, like they're not doing. And I'm like, oh, no. We see people that have been together for like 40 years come in and like buy a butt plug for the first mm-hmm. time, or like, you know what I mean?
I know, it is so interesting. And I think the idea that people have, like, oh, this is that type of girl or that type of man, that kind of boils down to, I mean, yeah, probably they are that type, but every person has so many faces and so many sides to them.
Yeah.
Like you can be a mom and you can also be very sexual and you can be very open and free, or mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to be like church on Sundays and only wearing turtlenecks. Yeah. And
even though those people can sometimes be the freakiest, like deep down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Funny. Like they have surprising sides to themselves, which is so healthy to explore.
Has it ever been awkward to tell people what you do? I get this question a lot in terms of sex ed, but for you, it's like if you are asking for a small business loan or mm-hmm. like more in professional environments, like talking to a tax accountant, like is it mm-hmm. ever awkward to be like, I run a sex toy store, or I own a business that revolves around sex?
I think for me, it's not awkward. I feel like there's no reason for it to be awkward because it's a legitimate business. But sometimes for sure, people will be like, oh, surprised. And I feel like it's more the older generation, but I mean, everyone around me knows it. So it's never like, you know, and I think the people that ask me what most about my business are my grandparents.
Yeah.
So they're always like so curious and intrigued. But maybe, like when I meet older people for the first time, and especially if they like have an idea of what I do, and I can sense that they don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
They'll be like, yeah, I know what you do. Like, you don't have to tell me.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
But no, I think it's not that awkward because I make it so normal.
Yeah.
And
that's a big part of it.
And a lot of the times I will kind of like sense, depends, of course, who I'm talking to, but I won't always lead with, I own a sex toy store or something like that. I'll say, I have a retail business. Something like that. And then if they want to know more, of course, I'll tell them. But usually people are just very, sometimes surprised, sometimes curious. I mean, sex is such a fun topic. I feel like most people want to know more once they know what I do. Then I will get more questions. And
I find that a lot of the time I get this type of question from people who have been taught that it's awkward or shameful or weird to talk about sex. And so when they see people like us that are like in sex ed or sex tech, they're like, well, how do you go about your life like telling people these things? And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, just because you find it uncomfortable, like, or you were told it's not allowed, doesn't mean that that's how we feel.
Right.
And they're surprised to learn sometimes that most people that we tell, like, what our job is, mm-hmm. they're excited. Mm-hmm. I was laughing about this the other day. I was getting a bikini wax, mm-hmm. and I had a new person, like the person I'd been with for like a year, she mm-hmm. quit, and I was with a new girl. And I was, like, a little nervous. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But she was like, oh, like, do you have any plans? And I told her, and then she was like, okay, cool. Like, what do you do? Because in D.C., everyone asks, so what do you do? And I told her, I was like, because at this point, we had already talked about, like, Love is Blind, and she had kind of, like, made a comment about, like, oh, yeah, and they're in North Carolina, so I understand the birth control thing, because there, it's not like she can get an abortion. I was like, okay, she's cool. Yeah. I can bring up stuff with her.
I didn't even think about that part.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Which we can get into.
For sure.
In a different, But I was like, okay, well, I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm a sex educator. And she was like, oh, that's so cool. Oh, can I ask you a question? This might be a little TMI, but can I ask you a question about one of my friends? She has, like, pain down there when she has sex and, like, blah, blah. And I was like, my legs are open currently. My pants are neatly folded in the chair behind me. You're saying this might be TMI. Like, you're making eye contact with her, all right? Like, there's no TMI.
There's no TMI.
And I was like, okay. And I was like, oh, no, like, sure, like, I'll help you, whatever. Mm-hmm. And most people, that's the thing. They're like, oh, like, I have a question or what do you, you know. Do you often get approached by people in your life, like, asking you about sex questions? Because you teach pleasure workshops, too. Or asking about sex toys, like,
all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
Is it, like, your friends, family? Like, is it anyone that people would find it surprising?
I think I can pretty much say everyone. Like, family, friends. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, a lot of people. And I don't know. Sometimes I do think, like, oh, my God, is this, like, do people think that this is the only thing I'm capable of talking about?
Oh, my God. I have the
like,
same thing.
They approach me and, like, oh, it has to be sex-related. Let me think of a question.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But, no, like I say, we have so many different sides to ourselves. So,
yeah.
I think people know that I can talk about kids. I can talk about my dog. I can talk about being married. I can, you know, I have a lot of things I can talk about. But I think this is a fun subject for people to touch on. And it's always, like, a good icebreaker as well.
I think it's also a lot of the time they just don't have anyone else that they can ask about or talk to this stuff about. I'm actually, like, I'm giving a lecture tomorrow about sexual wellness or well-being and how it's, like, different than sexual health. And one of the things I talk about is that sometimes for healthcare professionals, they'll ask about, like, your sexual activity status and people will, like, shut down or be really And it's not always that they're uncomfortable. It's like they're just not used to speaking it out loud because they don't have, like, the appropriate people in their community to talk to about. So I noticed, because I worked at Los De. I was working, like, both retail and then also I was teaching pleasure workshops and doing a lot of stuff. But a lot of the time people came in and they would kind of be, like, pretending to browse just to be able to be like, so I have a question, you know? And I was like, you know what? It's helping the brand relationship. It's like helping. And I was always kind of like, well, you know, to trying to point them to different things like that they could buy. But it is an important third space.
It is. Yeah, for sure.
And I know a lot in the US, like a lot of these stores are shutting down and they're going mostly online. But I find that that kind of does a disservice because there are so many people that just have questions or want to be able to hold it, want to be able to touch it before they buy it. And so if you were to, like, give a pitch for, like, why brick and mortar stores, like, are so essential, what would you say? And also, what makes Los De different than the kind of stereotypical, like, hustler store? And why was it so important for you to create that environment?
So I think the base of it is that, to me, it was never about just selling products. It was never about, just being like one more sex toy store. It was always about creating that safe space so people can come in and they can, you know, just the experience of walking into a sex toy store and relaxing and browsing and seeing like what your options are, what's out there, like how many different types of vibrators, butt plugs, like whatever, whips, chains, everything. And just like let people go into that part of their brain, like create a fantasy or explore, like what would I maybe be willing to explore that I haven't even thought about? It's never crossed my mind because it was never in front of me.
Yeah.
And for sure also that space of being able to ask questions, because like you said, a lot of people don't have those people around them. They don't have that space. So I do feel it's important just as a part of society. Like when you are in school, sex ed doesn't go deeply into the pleasure space.
No, it doesn't.
At all. And that's why I love the concept on these pleasure workshops, because you usually don't go to your mom and dad and ask about like, how do I become really good at giving head?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But you might know like the basics, the anatomy, or how to make babies, or
right.
all about menstruation, but you don't know like how and where to touch yourself or to please your partner or.
But like mm-hmm. there's so much more to explore.
Yeah.
And you don't know unless it's like modeled for you a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time what people are looking for is something that they haven't tried before. And so when right. they go online and they're like looking at different erotic materials or mm-hmm. reading or whatever, a lot of the time they're missing out on like the things that don't sell, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's like yeah. we're always kind of seeing the same stuff over and over and over.
Right. Yeah.
But that's not all there is.
Exactly.
And there's people like us that like have really studied this stuff and like mm-hmm. have really expanded our boundaries to like understand and try out and like figure things out for the sake of ourselves and for others.
Right.
And we're also just lucky that like we don't have that barrier when it comes to being able to discuss this. It's like we always say it's so giving. It's such a rewarding.
It is giving.
Job.
I know.
Yeah.
It is. And I think it's also like you don't get that online. If you go shopping online for a sex toy, you don't get that relationship when somebody walks into the store and you're able to meet them at yeah. their level, like really understand where they're at in their sexual journey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I can feel and sense how important that is to the customer. You know, we're
definitely.
Really able to like hold that space for them and just guide them and kind of like hold their hand and just give them permission, really.
Oh, that's like the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're allowed to like what you want
right.
to like, or like you're allowed to try things out. And I think the biggest thing is when people come in, especially people that are solo
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of like timid at first, but they're kind of on a mission.
Yeah.
They're like looking around and then you're like, is there anything we can help you with? Mm-hmm. Like, is there anything that you're looking for today? Just like, let me know. And you give them some space. And then eventually they're like, so... here's the thing, like mm-hmm. I want to try like XYZ and I saw it on your website,
mm-hmm.
but I want to see it in person. And then you're like, oh, okay. They want like under mattress cuffs.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And they're like, so how does this work? Like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's missing from online. Like you can have a lot of videos about it, a lot of articles about
yeah.
it. But at the end of the day, like having that person who's reading your energy and reading your vibe.
Right.
And, right. like, it's just a different
it's
feeling.
Total different information that you're receiving.
Yeah. And especially for people who are, like, nervous, what does this say about me that I like this?
Mm-hmm.
What does this say about who I am?
Right.
It's like, no, I see you just as you are,
mm-hmm.
and you're allowed to like this.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. You're not the only one. It's
yeah.
not weird. It's totally acceptable.
Right. Especially if we're like, oh, like, this is, the, like, the last one we have. It's a pretty big mm-hmm. seller. Then they're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's a nice feeling to be able to affirm somebody's sexuality.
Right. For sure.
And how lucky are we, too? A lot of the time, I remember sometimes people would come in and be like, I haven't told anyone this, but I think that I'm bisexual.
Yeah.
Or like, I think I'm trans and mm-hmm. I just haven't told anyone yet. And I'm here to buy a binder from mm-hmm. you or a packer. And I just want to see how it feels.
Yeah.
And then they come back like a couple of months later. You're like, oh, my God, you're transitioning. That's so exciting. You know?
I know. It is that connection that can be so beautiful. And like I say, it's witnessing such a beautiful journey for so many people.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, connecting to people on their level and then see them blossom into
yeah.
what they're becoming and just them kind of embracing all their sexual aspects, their traits, whatever. Yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah, so I really do love also that you don't technically have an age limit in your store.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people might be like, what? Like, you don't have to be like 18 to enter, or
right.
21 or 20 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of a controversial topic.
Yeah, it is.
I know, it is.
And a lot of people are like, what? So you could like be selling sex toys to an 8-year-old? Like most 8-year-olds are not coming in to buy sex toys.
And like they're just not interested. And then also it's this whole thing too where it's like we are also as adults, we're all shepherds of children in our community. So if there's an 8-year-old who comes in, we're it hasn't happened to me the whole time I worked there.
It's never happened.
But like if they were to wander in, we would just stop them kind of and be like, is there, did you mean to come in here? Like, are you looking for the bathroom or something? Or like, are you here with your mom or dad? Right. Or, you know, it's like we would obviously do that.
You know? We would not be like, oh, you want to try out the sex swing?
Exactly.
No. Yeah. So you know? People do kind of make assumptions or, and people think like children are being overly sexualized and all that. But that's not what's going on at the store. It's more about creating that safe space for people under 18, teenagers, that are already exploring those things. Yeah. And it's better to have like, a safe space where you can come in and you can ask questions and you can use a toy designed to explore your body and play around and be curious. Instead of, you know, not having anyone to talk to.
Definitely.
And using stuff that maybe are not intended to enter your body or whatever.
Yeah. Most young people that came in that were like maybe 15, you know, years old. Sometimes if they were younger, they were usually coming in with a parent to buy a binder because they were trans, non-binary. Or they were coming in for period products or pelvic health stuff. Because you did sell like, menstrual and I'm thinking about it in past tense because I don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
But like menstrual care, gender affirming care, things like that. But 15-year-olds would maybe sometimes come in and they would ask us questions about lube and condoms most of the time.
Right.
Or like buy a tiny little bullet vibe and be like, I just want to see like what this is like. Or they would even sometimes tell us like, well, I don't have sex yet, but I just like want to know what I like before I do.
Yeah, which is super healthy. That's what I love about sex toys. It's such a great way for you to figure out what you like and explore your body. But the reality is also that a lot of 15-year-olds are already having sex.
Yeah.
So I don't see why they shouldn't be allowed to come in and buy condoms.
Right.
You know?
I would love for more of them. As someone in public health, I would love for more of them to come in and buy condoms. And I think it's also cool that they already follow us on Instagram or something. And then they're coming in and they're just like, oh, like I just wanted to see, like I've never been in this type of space. And they might come in with like their friends.
Yeah.
And I always loved seeing like that one girl in the friend group that was like, oh yeah, like I've tried that and it was nice, but I feel like you might like this more. And I'm like, you are going to be like me in like 10 years. Like
there's always one that's super excited and knows everything.
Exactly. I'm like, you're going to enter this sex ed or sex therapy space.
Right.
And I look forward to having you here.
Like, so
I can always spot it, you know?
I know.
But I went to a sex toy store for the first time when I think I was 17. My high school boyfriend who lived in New York brought me to Babeland in Williamsburg. And he didn't tell me at first where we were going. He was like gonna surprise me. And it was really cute because I was like, you know, 40 minutes from the city in this like tiny little conservative blip in the greater New York area. I said this last episode, it's so funny how much of the bridge and tunnel New Yorker people are like actually like from really conservative backgrounds. There's a lot of Catholics, there's a lot of religious. And so he knew I was having a really hard time. Like I didn't feel affirmed being bi. I didn't feel like good about, like none of my friends were able to talk about sex. Like it was, you know, so he brought me there not because I had any trouble orgasming or anything like that. It wasn't like one of those like it wasn't one of those experiences where it's like, oh, we have to go there to fix something. Cause that's what a lot of people think.
Exactly.
It was more like, I just want to bring you here and show you. It's like this feminist sex toy store. And he brought me there and I remember walking in. And at first, I didn't realize what we were doing. And then right in front, he was like, so I brought you to a sex toy store. Do you want to go in? I was like, yeah, that's so fun. That's so cute. And then we walk in, and I remember just feeling so excited and so affirmed.
Yeah.
And just being like, oh, my God, this is so crazy. Like, I love it in here. Like, it's all so cool looking. And oh my God, these people are on a sex swing on a package. Like, that's crazy. And I remember I bought a tiny little Sliquid pomegranate flavored lube and nothing else.
Yeah, okay, that's nice.
Right? I even remember the flavor. Mm-hmm. But I was like not ready to buy a sex toy yet. But I remember just being like, this is so cool. And when I see people having those experiences in Loste, it warms my heart because the person who was helping me at Babeland, she was just, oh, like, have you tried this before? Like, what are you guys here to look at? Or when I was looking at the lube, she's like, this one's cool because it doesn't have anything that will give you, like, any irritation down there. You know, stuff like that. And then, like, 10 years later, being that person, I was like, wow, like, it's really full circle moment. Full circle,
yeah. That's so cute.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you remember the first time you went into a sex toy store?
I do remember the first time. Yeah, I was probably around, I want to say 15, 16, maybe 16. Yeah, could be. And then after that, I did go, like, quite frequently because it was, like, a fun thing to do. And it was, yeah, I think it's this kind of healthy curiosity. You're not in there to just, like, buy a whole bunch of dildos and go home and have, like, freaky sex. It's just the curiosity, like, oh, my God, I did not know that this existed or that people are doing this or, like, oh, my gosh, how funny to give someone edible panties as a gift, you know, something like that. But I think, yeah, my first time experience, it was definitely a lot different from, I hope, the experience that people have when people come into Loste. It was kind of like, I don't want to say shabby, but it was kind of like,
like the basement, like, yeah, the fluorescent light.
Yeah, it was kind of like a tacky feeling. I don't know. It was
I know. I think we can picture it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good.
Like, you know, it's like everything's
I'm having a hard
hooks,
time putting it into words.
And everything is like, it has that like white, like kind of like a fluorescent lighting. Mm-hmm. And it's like this, just like it's a liminal space.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So what I love about my store is that people constantly comment on how homey it is and how warm and inviting, and it's so like refreshing, like, oh my God, it's so clean, it's so nice, it's so girly and so homey. And because I think that, you know, sex and sex toys can be that feeling. It shouldn't give you like an ick feeling or like, ugh, I really shouldn't be here. I love the idea that it's inviting and people have the opportunity to feel like really welcome in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I remember I got my first sex toy. I was probably like 19 because I always thought that people use sex toys only if they had an issue having an orgasm.
Yeah.
And since like I didn't, I was like, oh, I don't need it.
Right.
And then I got one. It actually didn't really work that well. So I was like, oh, these are so overhyped. Mm-hmm. I got like a mini wand, like a tiny little mini wand. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't have one that I enjoyed really until I was like 22. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started really getting into it. And I kind of caught up. And like, obviously, you know me, I can't like anything like a normal amount. I have to be like, really? I have to be like, I need to know everything about this.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to be able to like recommend toys to people. Mm-hmm.
It is.
And do you find that when people come in and they're like searching for a feeling, as opposed to like a specific, like, you know, do you know what I mean? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Experience kind of. Yeah. Like they have this idea in their head and that's kind of like what they're looking to create, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, definitely the people that are on a mission, they know what they want. They just don't know what steps to take to get there or like what the product is that's going to take them there.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. And it's so interesting because you are like, okay, what type of, and they'll use like motions, like they'll be like, they'll pull their
like
hands.
The sensation they want to feel in their body.
Right. And they'll like do the thing where they're kind of like waving towards themselves or they're like creating kind of like almost like a ball with their hands. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, I just want, you know, I'm like, I do know. I know what you're talking about. You want those like intense pelvic contraction orgasms. And so it's so interesting. That's another thing with like body language and things like we see so much of it.
Yeah, you don't get that online.
No.
I know.
I want to talk about a couple of different types of customers and customer experiences because I know people ask about this a lot. But we see people come in solo. We see people come in groups. But what about when people come in as a couple?
It happens quite frequently.
Right. Do you think – so if a couple is coming in to a sex toy store – what kind of stuff should they be looking for? Mm-hmm. And what do you suggest they do, like, before they go in? Or do you think that they should set some sort of rules? Do you think it should be just like, let's just look at whatever we want? Mm-hmm. Because I get this question a lot where it's like, I really want to go with my girlfriend or boyfriend to a sex toy store, but I just don't know, like, what it will be like.
Right. I think for sure they should have the talk about just, you know, everyone's on the same page of going there together in general and taking a look. But it depends so much on the couple, like what the relationship is like, what their communication style is like, how well they know each other, how long they've been together. But so, yeah, I would say it definitely depends on that. But I think it's really healthy to kind of talk a little bit between themselves, like what they're looking for, what they would want to add to their collection, or if they have anything at all already. What I love most when it comes to couple toys, it's the cock rings.
Yeah.
You don't have to use it with a penis.
No.
But, you know, the option is definitely there. But it's like, if you're using it, you know, a penis and vagina, then vulva, then you're it's one of the few toys that stimulates both at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you don't get that with a lot of toys. Usually it's like an egg or some kind of a vibrational device that will stimulate the clitoris, and they can get something out of it. But like, the ring around the penis does so much for them as well.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be super tight.
Right.
That's the thing. I think it's a really big misconception about cock rings, is that they're there just to make sure you stay really hard. And
yeah, no, it should be comfortable.
Yeah, it should not
be. It's just about building that tension.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, it shouldn't be making you sore. It shouldn't be having any sort of like little, like those little flashes of pain. Like, mm-hmm. then it's too tight.
Yeah.
And so it's really important to also be honest with yourself mm-hmm. when like you're shopping for one. And it's another thing, like seeing how stretchy it is, using mm-hmm. it with lube.
Right. Yes.
And
good points.
Yeah. And like, it's nice that like when you go into the store, like I know I've definitely seen people being like, like I want this, but I'm not even sure how to like really use it. And then it's like, we just give them these like quick pointers and we just say it like matter of factly. So it's not awkward.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, okay. Like I have to use lube with it. It's like, mm-hmm. do you have a water-based lube to use this with?
Exactly.
Yeah. And they just know, like they have, you know.
Right.
But looking over the like most popular stuff here at L'Oste, I see also that there's just so many different things, and there's just, it's kind of like overwhelming if people have never shopped for a sex toy. They don't know what they want.
It can be so overwhelming.
Yeah. And they don't know, like they've never owned one before. So what do you suggest to somebody, no matter what gender or age or anything, if they just know that they want a sex toy, but they just don't know where to start? Mm-hmm. What do you suggest that they do?
I would definitely go for like a good lube and something nice that you can just rub on your body, you know, like an egg or something that vibrates.
Right.
Because, yeah, you can stimulate so many parts of your body with vibration. So I think that's,
like think beyond your genitals.
Maybe. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like nipple play, or just like teasing the inner thighs and like creating that sensitivity and getting aroused slowly and just kind of like sink into the feeling of arousement and just enjoyment and pleasure and just like really like dwelling there. And because I feel like a lot of people, they're like so excited about using the sex toy that they have to like rush through everything. Just, you know, and get to the sex part. But it's also about that anticipation and the suspense and like, oh, my God, what is it going to feel like? And so I think you can have a lot of fun with just building up the moment and enjoying it, because a lot of people like just really want to dive into it. And then they're like, oh, I don't really even know, did we enjoy it? Like everything happened so fast.
Exactly. For anybody, I think it's also really important to take a little inventory of what you like, what you're doing already, or if there's anything that you want to make better, or if there's anything that's missing.
Sure, that's a good point. And also between couples, like before you go in, really explore, like, is there something else that you want to be doing in your sex life that you're not already doing? And what does that look like? Like, have you guys explored spanking or tying each other up, or some kind of impact play, or do you not want to go there at all? Because it can, and I think you can relate to this, it can get awkward in the store when people have clearly not had any kind of talk. They don't know like what the other person, how far they're willing to go maybe. And you can kind of see like the dynamic where one person is really excited to like try some kind of
kinky
more,
stuff.
Yeah, like something more extreme. And the other one's like, no.
Yeah.
And definitely. You're just standing there like, I don't know. So and sometimes we do like engage in that conversation and kind of like guide them through
and
that
meet
talk.
Them halfway too. Yeah. Yeah.
But it can get uncomfortable when people are like so disconnected and they don't know like where they're going to meet each other.
I think it's also kind of one of those things. It comes up sometimes if, and this is something that I've seen too. There's a couple and let's say it's like a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. And then the woman is like obviously a little bit like uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So she's like keeps making jokes.
Yeah.
And she's like pulling up like a strap on being like, is it time for this already? Or like, you know, it's like, should I go home and peg you? And the guy is obviously like, ha ha ha, like, okay. And it's so funny to me because it's like, I know you are uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but like, because he's not uncomfortable, it's like, you don't have to humiliate him or like make him feel uncomfortable too.
They definitely want to like drag them down into the uncomfortability with them.
Or like maybe it was his idea to go into the store and she doesn't want to. Yeah. So she's like, fine, I'll go. And then it's like, oh my God, you'll see this. Yes. Look at this.
Yeah. I do see that a lot. And it's so awkward for a lot of people. Yeah. One person really wants to go in and the other one will sometimes just like stay by the door the whole time.
Oh yeah, I've seen that too. Mm-hmm. That's very
interesting. Or like enter and then walk quickly out. Mm-hmm. And then the other one's like, oh, wait a minute. Are we leaving already?
Right. And it's like, because there's like a lobby.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're not fully outside. So sometimes we can like, we just have to turn the music up in the store and be like, all right, they need to have a moment, you know?
Yeah. Or also when they're, when they've browsed and they're like, picking out things and then they'll come and they're going to pay. How are we doing this? 50-50? Oh, yeah. Are you taking this one? Or that can also be kind of uncomfortable. So I think that's also a good talk to have beforehand.
Definitely, especially if it's early on in the relationship. Yeah. Here's another, I mean, this is just off of this question. When, this is a big thing we see when like lesbian or just women loving women, like, you know, come in, two vulvas are involved.
Yeah.
And we see them maybe buy a strap-on for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then it's like maybe they don't really know who to pay like or who should pay.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And they end up maybe splitting it or whatever. And then maybe a few months later, this one of the same people will come in and be like, hey, I bought this like a while back or my partner bought this and I want to get a new one. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, yeah, no problem, like whatever. And then they'll just start like kind of spilling the tea. They're like, yeah, I remember like we came in like blah, blah. And they're like, well, you know, we broke up and she insisted on keeping the strap on, which I don't find very fair because I was the one who was wearing it.
Right.
But I guess it makes sense because like it was going inside of her.
I know.
And I'm like, yeah. I mean, the logistics of like who gets the sex toys in a breakup if you're using them together.
Right.
Especially if they're expensive. Like LeWand.
I know.
Is expensive.
Yes.
It's like $200. It is. Yeah. Like I understand if you're using it together.
Uh-huh.
Who gets the sex toy in the breakup?
I know. It is so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Sibian machine or like something like a motor bunny.
Mm-hmm.
If you're both using it.
Right.
Or the BDSM equipment if you're both. Who gets the stuff?
I know.
Should we be like, putting this in our like prenup? Like should we?
For sure. Yeah. I think people should have some kind of some kind of a, I don't know, contract between themselves or something. Because, And then I do see a lot of people buy, like, no, this is for me. This is for me. Like, this is mine. I'm going to keep it no matter what. I'm going to use it however I please. You can come and go.
Right.
Other people can come and go, but this is for me.
Yeah. So, I do love that, though. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know we're using this together, but, like, it is mine.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I love that. Mm-hmm. It's so funny, too, when people do come in to buy, like, the Sibian or, like, the Motor Bunny machines, which, if you don't know what that is, it's, like, this, not circular, it's, like, a half circle.
Kind of like a saddle.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is. It's, like, a saddle, and it's really rumbly. Mm-hmm. Like, it has a deep, deep, deep,
super powerful.
Super powerful vibration. You sit on it, usually. But there's other ways to do it. You can mount it to a wall, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But when people come in and they're like, I've been saving up for 6 months for this. Yeah. Or they come in and they turn it on and they're like, okay, it's a little louder than I expected. And yeah. then we're like, oh, there's ways to make it quieter, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's so interesting when people are saving up for a sex toy and they're almost like embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, this is an investment.
It is. Yeah.
Like you're allowed to, you know, and I think that's one of those things too, where it's like people see it as like a frivolous purchase. Like yeah. they don't want to spend too much money on the sex toy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why not? Why are you, you're going to probably go through three of those other things.
Right. I know.
When you could just be buying this one that mm-hmm. lasts for years. I think that's really weird, too.
Yeah, it is. Know? Yeah. I had this one woman come in, and she bought the Motor Bunny.
Hell yeah.
And she was
good
like,
for her.
Yeah. She was like, I was supposed to be getting married this year, and I'm not. So,
girl.
So this is, I'm going to be spending my money on this instead.
Whoa. That's so cool, though. Good mm-hmm. for her. No, sure. yeah. I've definitely yeah. seen the breakup sex toy purchase.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah, that's a journey.
One girl came in. This is a while ago. She came in, and I had seen her twice in the store before with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was always, like, making not even jokes, just, like, rude comments. And, mm-hmm. of course, I didn't say anything. I minded my business.
Of course.
Packaged up some
it's
things.
It's so hard to bite your tongue down sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It
oh,
is yeah. rough.
But then she came in, and she, now that I'm single, I can get the thing that he didn't let me get.
You go, girl.
Because she wanted a dildo, and he was like, no, nothing's going in you but me. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, be right back and go throw up real quick.
That is terrible. Yeah.
And, but then she came in, and it was as if the whole world had lifted from her shoulders. She looked so well rested.
Oh, my gosh.
Her skin was clear. Her hair was shiny.
Oh, my goodness.
I was
goodness.
Like, wow, you look great. She's like, well, you know, now that I'm single, I'm here to get the thing I wanted. I was like, damn, that's so cool.
Crazy.
I love that for you.
Yeah. I did have a similar experience the other day where I was, did a home party
yeah.
for, I think it was like 5 or 6 couples. So they usually get together and make like dinner parties together and stuff like that.
That's so
and
cute.
And this time they were like, okay, we're going to get a sex toy presentation. And everyone was like really fired up and stuff like that.
I love that.
And it's obviously couples that, you know, do this like once a month. They really know each other in and out, like really
yeah.
close.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. No, I don't think it was
no,
that kind of group.
Swingers.
But yeah,
yeah.
no. But so, yeah. And then, I mean, obviously they had been drinking. They were having fun. It was a lot of fun. But there was this one couple where the man would constantly, like, joke, make some kind of joke with all the toys. Doesn't
it's
matter
so
what
annoying.
I was showing.
It's so annoying.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of like, haha, okay, like, 1 or 2 jokes. Now let me just do my presentation, you know?
Like, could you please shut up? Like, but, like, you can't say anything. You have to be like, yeah, so.
anyway, moving on.
Every time.
Yeah. And then when it came to, you know, at the end of the presentation where everyone was like buying stuff and like, oh, my God, like I really like this one. I want to try this out. And I think we should get this to use together and stuff like that. So most couples bought like 1 or 2 toys, lube, stuff like that. And then it came to her and she was kind of like shy about it. And she kept wanting his approval. Like, I don't know. What do you think about this one? I think it could be fun. And he was constantly putting her down, like, that? What are you going to do with that? Why? That's so weird.
Oh, I hate that for her.
And then, thank goodness, her friends were like, no, no, you do you.
Yeah.
If that turns you on, just go for it.
Good for her
and
to have those friends.
And he was like, I'm not paying for that. It was so hard. I was like, my heart was breaking for her.
Ew. Ew, 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 ew.
Like, that's not something you do in a relationship.
And also
like,
in front of all of your friends.
I know. It was just giving so much, like, shame. And
yeah.
It was so rough.
That's the thing.
And I was so proud when she was like, no, no, I'll just pay for it myself.
Yeah. I'll just use it when you're not around. Yeah.
But it was hard to
witness.
To watch.
Yeah. I think the projection of shame is a big one.
It is.
And it's actually really interesting. The reason that I really started honing in on like more of the sociological aspect of sex
mm-hmm.
is because of how different the reactions were mm-hmm. from people who came into the store.
Yeah.
And Iceland is a super homogenous society.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, what, like more than 80% white and Protestant.
Yeah.
Like it's super homogenous. A lot of us grow up with like the same cultural influence, except for, like, you and me.
Yeah, yeah.
We're always like, what? Like, you know, neither one of us grew up, like, in the Christian church. So we're just like, what is going on? But it's really interesting to see how, like, some people come in and they're just so open and so excited. Some people come in, they're, like, calm and secure. And others come in and they're almost, like, disgusted.
I know.
But they're in there. So I'm like, this is very interesting.
It is so interesting. And yeah, definitely. And I feel like a lot of times when we're doing bachelorette parties, there will be like a group of women. And usually you can spot instantly one woman that will not touch the toys. She's disgusted by it all. She wants no part in this, but she doesn't want to stand up and move. She wants to hear the conversation going on.
Right.
She wants to be a part of it, but she just she has to make it clear that this is unacceptable. And you guys are all dirty whores.
Yes.
You know?
Like, she has to make it known that she does not approve of this.
Yeah, it's obviously coming from a place of shame. And and I don't know, it's just, it's tough, but
But I do support, though, and I do applaud the people that it is so difficult for them. They're making these comments, but then by the end of it, they soften up a little.
They do soften up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is so good to see, because I think when they're giving that, when they're given the space and the opportunity to kind of like open up.
Yeah.
And explore, like, what is really holding you back? Like, why do you feel this way? Like, let's dive into that.
Right.
And then usually, immediately, they will open up about either some kind of sexual trauma, abuse, whatever. So,
or like,
and then you can kind of like point out like how important it is to work through that so you can heal that part of you and start enjoying your sex life.
Or they were just told, like, this is not what good girls do, or like it's a, or even for men, it's like, well, you don't want to be like the other guys that are objectifying women, and like, you know, it's like sometimes it goes to that extreme too, where it's like you don't want to fulfill this like nightmare scenario where like you're this like sex, like you're just this like depraved, like crazy sex individual
maniac.
And I think. But also, it's I've noticed also that sometimes this shame just comes from just not having it modeled ever in front of you. Like, maybe your parents, like, never kissed or hugged or even held hands.
Right.
Maybe the only sex that you saw was through, like, movies and TV where it was, like, super romanticized. And then, like, also you're seeing more hardcore stuff be, like, super demonized.
Right.
And then it's, like, you're getting all these conflicting messages. So you're, like, I don't want to deal with any of it. Like, it's just too confusing. And those types of people, too, they often have the most questions about, like, am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do this? Like, you know. And that's always really interesting.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
So I have some more listener questions. it's always like a asking for a friend type situation, which I love. This person made a very vague statement here, but some people use toys alone, but are hesitant to use them with a partner. How can they do it without it being awkward? So I'm assuming they mean like, how can they introduce the toys to their partner without it being awkward? What do you think?
Like we've said so many times, like communication is such a key component to it all. So definitely just being open and vulnerable and just having like a relaxed talk about how you're curious and enjoy doing this alone and you want to try to explore that with them.
Yeah.
It could be fun. It could be, you know, something new to try out and why not? And just kind of like feel them out and take steps, like small steps, baby steps to see if it's something that you guys can enjoy together. It's funny though, because last weekend I was doing a presentation at like a ladies' night.
Yeah.
Ladies' night.
The feeling's right.
And I had a girl come up and it was the exact opposite. She was like, no, 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 no. Me and my husband have an agreement. No orgasms without one another. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
But she did.
I have heard this actually.
Yeah. She did end up buying like a panty remote controlled vibrator.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if that's what you're into, like, no orgasms, no playing without one another,
sometimes
then there's
it's a kink element there. Also.
It could be for sure.
Because sometimes it's like a unhealthy ownership of each other type thing, and then sometimes it goes into this territory where it's like you're getting a lot of enjoyment out of this ownership.
Yeah.
So, and I talk about this all the time. You've heard me say this, but it's not always about what people are doing. It's how they feel about it that matters more.
For sure.
But I've definitely seen that in like orgasm denial, where it's like, you're not allowed to come until mm-hmm. I come home. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want you to try until I come home. And then like, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of like interesting too when I first started learning about that, because immediately we want to jump to like, oh, like, no, like, you're allowed to do what you, like,
I know,
you
know. Yeah.
But if someone's, like, really into that, that can be, like, the biggest source of sexual joy for them.
Definitely.
I'm like, ooh, that's the remote control is a really great option for that.
She was so excited about
that's
it.
That's so fun.
That's fun.
That's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, this kind of goes, well, actually, I want to say really quick. So a lot of the time in the store, we saw people who also would maybe say, like, oh, are you, like, have you tried this? Or, like, are you into this? Or, like, whatever. And it's, like, and I noticed this more comfortable with LGBTQ mm-hmm. folks, where they'd be, like, oh, yeah, I tried that with a partner before. I wasn't that into it. Or, like, actually, I have tried that with, like, my ex, and I would love to try that with you. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that maybe there's more of that, like, ownership of your sexuality with straight couples that I've seen, where it's like almost like your gendered roles play a big big thing here, mm-hmm. where it's like, no, I don't want to know about what you did with anyone else, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's part of the reason why, like, when I was creating the games mm-hmm. online, one of them was Never Have I Ever, because it's like a test. It's like, can you work through this jealousy? Can you be comfortable knowing what your partner has done? Mm-hmm. And there are people, though, that – and this I saw this in the store a lot, where, like, I've seen them come in with someone else.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe a year later, they have a new partner. They're mm-hmm. coming in. They're like, no, I've never tried that before. And
oh,
I'm like –
oh, my goodness. Yeah. I know.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, it can also be the wanting to hold on to some innocence, mm-hmm. Wanting to be like, oh, no, you're the first, you know? Or maybe it can also be people that are generally kind of submissive and want other people to kind of lead them as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but going off on this, so another person said, I have a vibrator and a dildo, but I feel really weird about my boyfriend having a fleshlight. Mm-hmm. I know it's not fair, but mm-hmm. it just makes me feel icky, and I feel like I can't say anything about it because I have my own, but it really bothers me. Am I the asshole here, or should I speak up? Ooh.
Did she find this on Reddit?
No, like, I'm kidding. I love when people ask me, like, am I the asshole?
I love those threads.
Me too.
They're the best. I think it's okay to have a conversation about it, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, if it makes you uncomfortable, let's explore that. Let's, where is that feeling coming from?
Right.
And what can we do about it? Can you guys somehow meet halfway, or is this a deal breaker? Is it not? Is it something you have to get used to? Can you maybe use it together?
Right. That's a good one.
So there's a lot of things that you can do to kind of like manage the jealousy aspect mm-hmm. And work through it, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those double standards that, you know, double standards are never correct, I feel.
Yeah.
So I would definitely encourage people to try to work through that.
Because there is that like ownership thing that we were talking mm-hmm. about, where it's like, but is it like, do you feel weird about him masturbating without you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or is it you feel weird because maybe the fleshlight looks anatomically correct, you know?
Yeah.
I remember someone asked me this like months ago on my newsletter, and I answered it because her problem specifically was like, I don't want him lusting over someone's like body part. Like it feels mm-hmm. like he's objectifying women, mm-hmm. which, and she was like, you know, I have sex toys, but none of them look like another human.
Right.
And I think that's really interesting that this person said like, I have a dildo. Cause it's like, mm-hmm. maybe she's trying to infer like, I have like a realistic looking toy.
Probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people too, they have this like clear, like they come in, they're like, I don't want anything that looks like a human. Like I want like a purple wavy looking mm-hmm. thing. Or they come in, they're like, I want to buy like a sleeve, a pocket pussy, whatever you want to call it.
That doesn't look like a pussy.
Yeah.
Right.
And we, you know, you have like a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But some people just enjoy more of that visual.
The visual stimulation is a big one for a lot of people, yeah. for sure.
Yeah, especially that's why some people want the dildo with the balls. Mm-hmm. Because they're like, it just looks and feels more realistic. Like the real thing.
Yeah, I know.
But I like what you said about like taking these baby steps, because it really doesn't have to be like all or nothing.
It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
And if it bothers you that, you know, it might be because it is realistic, or maybe it's, you know, mm-hmm. if it's because he's like using it without you, you can use it together, like Sarah said.
Yeah.
If it's the whole like objectification, realistic thing, there are ones that maybe you can get him
yeah.
that don't, and then you can just talk about it. I don't think it's like that crazy, because I know like it is more weighted mm-hmm. if it's objectifying women. But I do also understand, like, that's why, like, I get it. You know, I get where it's coming from. But at the same time, I'm also like, this is definitely something you can, like, work through. Mm-hmm. I don't think all hope is lost here.
I've also heard a lot of women talk about the fact that they're kind of scared that the masturbator or the pocket pussy might feel better than they do. Like, the stimulation for them might be better than their vulva.
Oh, especially when we were doing like trunk shows or like ladies' nights, bachelor mm-hmm. parties, whatever. Really interesting when they're like, well, he's not going to want to have sex with me because now he has this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's not the only reason that he has sex with you. It's like, if you're worried that maybe he's objectifying a woman's body because he has this, but then you're also saying, oh, like, he's not going to want to do it with me if this feels better than me. Mm-hmm. It's, like, the same thing as, like, when people are, like, well, why do you want a vibrator if you have a man?
Yeah.
It's, like...
Am I not enough?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, this competing with the sex toy.
Yeah.
And, of course, there is, like, different weight in terms of, like, gender here. But I do think at the end of the day, this is often, like, an internalized message about, like, what you're good for mm-hmm. in sex. And it's like, maybe you need to take a month where penetrative sex is off the table
yeah.
a little bit
mm-hmm.
and just focus on that intimacy if this is such a big issue.
Right, for sure. Yeah, you know? I think a lot of people kind of forget that it's not just about penetration or sex. It's about the connection with yeah. the other person and how good it feels to connect physically. And like you said, the intimacy, and there's so many different levels to having a sexual relationship with someone that is not a sex toy, you know? It's not the same. Sex yeah. toys can be a fun way to spice up the sex that you're having with this person.
Yeah.
It will never substitute them.
No, it'll never substitute them. Mm-hmm. And another thing is, like, we talk a lot about the toys and the tools and stuff, or just, like, the toys, I mean. But that's not necessarily the biggest part of owning a sex toy store
mm-hmm.
because there's so many things that people are looking for. Anything as small as like blindfolds to mm-hmm. like hot wax or nipple clamps or like, you know, it's like those things that you can't really recreate with human hands or mouths or parts, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the thing. It's like, people sometimes also have this idea that using sex toys in bed will ruin the intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
But any toy or tool that you're using, like, it's how you're using it.
Yeah. And it can definitely enhance it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to ruin anything. It doesn't have to be like, instead of doing this, we're going to do this. It can just be something that you're adding to the equation.
Right. I know, for example, when people don't want to have penetrative sex
mm-hmm.
and they're saying, oh, it's not real sex. But I'm like, you're sharing a sexual experience. Right. Like, who cares how we know? It's like, mm-hmm. you're still naked doing stuff with each other.
Yeah.
That's intimate. That's like the same. Like, it's like this whole, like, we didn't go all the way. But I'm like, but you still had each other's fluids all over
yeah,
each other.
Like,
you
know what I mean? What is going all the way then?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? Like, how does it, like, not count if, yeah. you know? But, and sex toys can be a big part of that. I know, like, we talk about, like, mutual masturbation mm-hmm. and how, like, that can be so great.
It can be so healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people don't realize, like, that's an option. Because, yeah. like you said before, like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And a lot of people will think, like, okay, so now we've bought this sex toy, so now this always has to be part of our sex.
Right.
It doesn't have to be that way. Like, no. sometimes you don't have the need or the desire to use a sex toy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just about one another and connecting. And
yeah.
And not that there has to be a disconnection when there's sex toys involved. But yeah, I feel like a lot of people think that it is an all or nothing type of thing.
Definitely. So another listener question. So why do people use butt plugs? Are they really supposed to just go in there and not move?
I feel like we get
this question a lot.
I know. It's such a popular question because people are kind of confused. Like a lot of dildos, you'll be using them in an in and out motion. You'll mm-hmm. be like moving them around and stuff like that. But butt plugs, yes.
They're supposed to go in
and stay there. And they're just kind of creating that tension. What do you say? Like,
pressure.
Pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and especially if you're having penetrative sex, then you're just enhancing that pressure.
People think about butt plugs as something like, I actually wouldn't recommend a butt plug for someone with a prostate as much mm-hmm. as I would for someone with a vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a prostate, I would suggest something that has more of that curve shape.
Right.
That's something that can tap or move back and forth a little bit more.
Yeah.
But like if you're getting used to the sensation, of course, a butt plug is great.
Mm-hmm.
But butt plugs are great for people with vaginas because like it adds, like you said, that more pressure.
Yeah.
To the legs of the clitoris that are by the vaginal opening, to the interior portion of the clitoris, which is like right on that frontal wall.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're having penetrative vaginal sex, it does kind of like create this really full feeling that some people are super into.
Right.
And you don't have to go for like a big one for it to be mm-hmm. that, like it can be as skinny as your finger.
Yeah. And it still creates that sensation and it does a lot for that kind of experience.
Yeah.
For sure. And I feel like people are either like super intrigued and curious and open to butt plugs or like, no, nothing is going in there.
Right.
People feel maybe like it's really dirty. It's, mm-hmm. Something that good girls do not do
right.
or something like that. But if you are curious, there are so many ways that you can take baby steps as well to just exploring. And nothing has to like even enter your anus. You can just play around with the opening.
Yeah.
And like you said, with the people with the penis, you can just stimulate on the outside of the perineum.
Yeah.
Just to kind of tickle that soft spot, you know, that.
Yeah. Or just add pressure like up almost like mm-hmm. on the perineum to stimulate the prostate without going inside.
Yeah.
Just to like kind of compress the area a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. A similar question. We talk about lube all the time. I always say we as if I still work there. We.
Always welcome back.
You sell a lot of different lubes.
Yes. We do.
And people ask, and this is something I address a lot too, but it's like, is lube a shortcut to not being aroused? Is lube a shortcut to penetration?
Mm-hmm.
And are you just skipping the arousal?
It can be, but it does not have to be.
Exactly.
It can be. I mean, sometimes you're just going for a quickie and you slap some lube on and, you know, but it does not have to substitute anything. It does not have to be a shortcut or anything.
And thank you for saying that, because a lot of sex educators will be like, no, it's only for people that mm-hmm. are just naturally not as lubricated. But it's like, no, like sometimes your brain is turned on and your genitals just are not getting the memo quick
enough.
And you just want, and you know you'll be physically aroused down mm-hmm. there after a little bit, but you just got to get it going.
And sometimes it can be just like very unexpected sex, you know? We're just going to, let's grab this opportunity. And
we're not talking about, like, forcing something in your vagina. But it's it's just, like, your vagina's turned on. It's the blood's pumping. But, like, you're just, your arousal fluids haven't really kicked up yet.
Besides, even though you do have some kind of wetness going on, it's just not the same.
No.
You know, it's not as slippery or as, I don't know what the right word is.
Slick and mushy and gushy and all that.
Right. So I think it always has a lot of benefits, you know, using lube. A lot of people feel like, no, that's only for old people or something like that.
Yeah.
But lube is such a fun way to make everything just kind of glide better. And, mm-hmm. you know, the friction and everything is just, it's a smoother sailing, yeah. I can say.
You're a silicone lube lover.
Yes.
I'm a water-based lube lover.
Yeah, I love Uber Lube, as you know.
Yeah. Saya and I are really funny because we're pretty much opposites with almost everything except for music and food and like coffee. General vibes. Yeah. But like everything else, it's like, oh my God, I love this toy. And mm-hmm. you'd be like, oh, okay. Like I've never, really? Or you're like, oh my God, this is my favorite one. And I'm like, that one literally didn't even work for my anatomy. Yeah, it's so funny.
It is so funny.
It's like complete opposite, but that's good because like we could make
recommendations. You're talking about the rabbit now.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The G
spot. I'm like, wait, which one was
What's it called? The Satisfier G-spot rabbit. Yeah.
Yes.
It has like a suction toy at the end and it's just not long enough for my clit. It does this weird, it's kind of sucking on my like, urethra. And I'm like, please.
No. Yeah.
You're so close, but you're so far.
I love that one.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a really good thing, though, to know that like what works for a lot of people might not work for you just because your clit is like a little higher or lower.
Yeah.
Like people always assume that these toys are like made to work for everybody.
Right.
But they're made to work for like the average length between your vagina and your clitoris.
Yeah.
And some people it's like too far over so they don't get enough, and then for some people like me, I'm also a big girl. I'm 5'10". Like it's a little more room down there, all right?
Yeah.
So it's like obviously it's not made for everybody, you know?
Of course. Not one size fits all.
No. But speaking of one size, I get a lot of questions about a wand style toy.
Yeah.
People are sometimes intimidated by them.
Yeah. I mean they're pretty big.
Yeah.
They do take up a lot of space.
Yeah.
But I think if you're creative and you're curious and down to have fun, you can find so many different ways and so many different positions to use a wand.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't take up so much space, you know? And if you're with a partner and you're both enjoying the wand, I feel like it immediately takes not so much space.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of diminishes, I guess. Most people will just think of a wand for like laying on their back and putting it on the clit. And just that's it. But you can sit on it. You can grind up against it. You can also use it while giving a blowjob.
Against your cheek. Yeah.
You can cover the head of the penis with your hand and put the vibration from the wand up against your hand. You can use it on your back, your shoulders. You can use it pretty much everywhere.
I think people are intimidated by it because of the power. And
it
a
is
lot,
very powerful.
It is powerful, but your clit can handle it.
It can, yeah.
And
maybe like, not, you know, some people will be able to handle higher settings or longer periods or something like that. But yeah, I mean, you're not damaging your clit by any means.
No. And also, it is rumbly. And like there's a difference between buzzy and rumbly toys.
So much difference.
Yeah. The buzzy is like almost on the skin, high frequency. Rumbly is like this low frequency.
It's like a deep tissue massage.
Yeah.
And the other one is more like
on the skin.
On the surface level, kind of.
Yeah. And some people like that better, but I think people also are afraid of the wand because they're afraid, oh, like my partner will never measure up or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, there's so many humans can't measure up to that we use all the time.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
But it's also healthy to just acknowledge that feeling, explore it, and accept it and kind of like, you know, go through that emotion.
Right.
Because it doesn't have to be that way. You know, you can kind of like, okay, this is something that a human is not possible of mimicking.
Yeah.
But I can enjoy it either way.
Definitely. I love the wand attachment for the penis where you kind of just, you can use it together or like your significant other that has a penis can like use the wand on their own, and it just pops on and it has like a little cup almost, and you put the tip of the penis so it sits like right on the undershaft, and it's really great. And I think a lot of people who are like, oh, I don't want my partner to have that because it's so powerful, when they use it, they're like, oh, I get it now.
Okay,
it's great. And vibration's not just for the vulva.
No, it is not.
It's for the penis too.
It is.
Yeah.
Sure.
So speaking of last question, what is the future of sex tech looking like? Mm-hmm. And do you see it expanding more for men's sex toys?
Yeah, and I think we've seen that also just these last couple of years that we are seeing more diversity in the male toys, toys for penises. Yeah. But I think what we are, like the future, what the future holds for sex toys is a lot of like technical stuff, like yeah. where you can be using your phone or your some kind of like VR things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. And yeah. you can kind of like combine like your porn and your toy. You know, you can right. kind of like make it a very well-rounded whole kind mm-hmm. of experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing that and seeing mm-hmm. kind of the conversations about that for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely a new frontier.
It is. Yeah. Exciting.
Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if people are going to Iceland and they want to check out Loste, where can they find you?
So we are located in Borgartún 3 yes. in Reykjavik and on Instagram, loste.is.
That's loste.is.
Yes.
L-O-S-T-I.is.
Is. Yeah. Like everyone knows what I'm talking about, right?
And there's a lot of Icelanders that listen in English too. Yeah. So check them. And then also loste.is. Loste.is on the internet.
On the internet.
And thanks so much for coming on my pod. We used to host a podcast mm-hmm. together, so this is like so. It's a
yeah,
little throwback.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it, our
thank
first,
you for having me.
A first episode in English. How exciting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
If you want more of Beyond the Bedroom, you can check out my newsletter, which is On the Nightstand. That's birna.substack.com. Check out my links in the episode description or on my Instagram to get a discount on Unbound. But if you're in Iceland, Saga stocks some Unbound things, so check them out at Loste. You can use code BBIRNA at Fur Grooming Products. That's a 15% discount on all of your purchase, as many times as you want. Check it out in the episode description below. I'm sending you all my love from here in Reykjavik, Iceland.